You know where we're at tonight, Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. This might be the night. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you that you are a great God, and that we do worship you in all your wonder and all your glory. We bask in the fullness of your love and your provision for us. And what you have prepared for us in the future is more than we can comprehend. And so, God, we worship and praise your name tonight. I ask tonight, dear Heavenly Father, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you would fill me with your spirit, and that you help me minister to the church the word tonight, and help me by your spirit. Help my dear wife there as well, ministering and to the deaf, and fill her with your spirit. Help Stephanie watching the children, fill her with your spirit. Guide her in there, Heavenly Father, I pray. Dear God, meet with us tonight. Be with those who could not be here. Might they have a sweet time with you. Might they pray for this meeting, even as we pray for them now. And oh, Father, may we be edified tonight. Edify your church. Make us stronger for Jesus' sake. Help us by your Spirit and by your Word. And help us to glorify your name this Thanksgiving season especially. And for your worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, on the shelf back there is the next study we'll be doing on Wednesday night. There are the book, student books are on the shelf there, so you can feel free to grab one tonight. We'll be going through Galatians, so look at that and grab that, and we'll get rolling right on that as soon as we finish this, which may be tonight. All right. Now to him there's power to establish you. To him there's power to establish you. So what is Paul doing? Well, Paul is commending the church of Rome. He's commending them to the God of the Word. He's committing them to that, as is mentioned in the last in the last verses of the chapter. He's committed them to the everlasting God, middle of verse 26, and to the God only wise, verse 27 there. That's the God he is committing them to. And he realizes that that's what you do. You do what you can do, and then you commit it to God. You even commit the work, God's work he's doing through you at the time to him. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were making the return trip on their first missionary journey, they were going back through the churches of Galatia they just planted, and they were establishing them, giving the word of God to make them stronger. And the Bible says in Acts 14:22, they went back through the churches confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained the elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, what to say? They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And so they committed them to God, to his mighty power. When Paul was on his third missionary journey, he was finishing up there. He again had gone through and planted churches. Again, he had retraced his steps and gone back through and to strengthen those churches. But as he was finishing up the journey, he came along the coast of Asia there, and he wanted to make it back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. So he did not want to go all the way into Ephesus and be delayed there. He wanted to make it back in time for Pentecost. So he stopped at the island of Miletus, or on the coast there at Miletus, and called the elders of the church to come to him. And you'd find that in Acts chapter 20. and verse 25. And so as he's speaking with those pastors, he says in Acts 20:25, "And now behold, I know thee, all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Wow, what a blessing. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this," well, this is a sad but true prophecy, "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you," not what? Sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves," right out of your own church, "shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." That's why you always got to check your preacher by the Bible, okay? No person is ever guaranteed to be always right with God. No person is ever guaranteed to always be faithful with God. We always prove them by the Word of God, by the book. And even of your own selves, he said, "there'll rise up disciples, people with perverse things, drawing disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember," he said, "that I told you these things." He says, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And then verse 32, "And now, brethren," here it is, "I commend you to God." I commend you to the Almighty God there. So he does it again and again and again. You see, when the apostles came preaching this wonderful message of Christ and the gospel of salvation, And the truths of spiritual growth, they didn't just come with another new message. It wasn't just some new yet vain and dead message like the false cults. No, the gospel of Christ was a powerful living gospel. And the power of God was with that gospel. And God's word would not return unto him void. In Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And so that power of God was with the word of God as that message was delivered. I think about the Apostle Paul on his trip to Thessalonica. Someone want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6. Brother Brian?
"For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction,
Amen. Wasn't just words. They saw the power behind it. They saw God working behind it when Paul and his missionary team came to Thessalonica. They saw the power of God behind that gospel. Don't forget the circumstances around their coming to Thessalonica. Those Thessalonians saw those missionaries who had just been imprisoned and beaten at Philippi. They saw them come boldly to their city and give them the good news of the gospel of Christ. They saw these beaten and battered missionaries minister for 3 weeks against great opposition in Thessalonica. They saw the violence and the ungodliness of the enemies of the gospel as they followed these missionaries from Philippi to persecute them in Thessalonica and try to prevent them from delivering the gospel message. They charged the Thessalonians nothing to bring them the gospel message. They risked their own lives to bring them the gospel message. Those people at Thessalonica saw the life-changing power of the gospel of Christ in the godly lives of those missionaries. Unlike their enemies, their lives reflected the holiness, power, zeal, and love of Almighty God. And they watched this played out for 3 weeks there in Thessalonica. And as these served wholeheartedly and willingly to give them the gospel. And I tell you what, those who were listening and receiving got sold out on it. And they received it. They saw that power. And they became followers of us, Paul says. He says, look what he says there, verse 5. He says, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. He says, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They knew the testimony of them. They knew the power that had changed those lives. And so those who became believers, we want that. And we want that gospel. Despite the persecution, he says that they became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. But what? But with joy of the Holy Ghost. These guys are being hunted. They've already been beaten. They're beaten up. They're being followed up, being hunted again. And yet what? They're rejoicing in the Lord. They're still preaching the gospel. And so they wanted that same gospel. Even they wanted that same Christ, even if it would cause them persecution, affliction. They realized the reality of it and the power of it, that it was beyond this world. And they realized that's God working there. And so they received and believed in the mighty Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and in the Holy God. That was the power behind that gospel. The gospel is not really a word, not merely a word, is the everlasting word of the Almighty God. It will change the life of those to whom it comes. It always impacts them. Yes, some people receive it. Yes, some people get hardened. But the same sun that melts the ice is the same sun that hardens the clay. It depends on what you do with the word. But you're not going to walk it away from it changed. It's going to do one or the other. And it's going to work in a heart. Paul commended them to the God of the word. What else to do? Paul commended them to the word of God. Paul commended them to the word of God. He says, "Now to him that is of power, that is power, that's God, to establish you according to my gospel." And so he goes on talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we read starting out. And so God doesn't just work willy-nilly, okay? God works by his word and by the gospel and by this blessed book here. And God always works by his word. You know, we talk about people. We've all heard people, you know, well, I don't go to, my church is in the wilderness. You know, when I go fishing, I look at the trees and the birds and I worship God. And, my church is the mountain where I go skiing, you know. And I like to ask them, really, how long did you spend praying last time you went, you know, you went fishing or skiing or whatever it was to be in your church? How long did you spend praying? How'd God speak to your heart? And no, listen, God works according to his word. And God works according to his word. Listen, I want to tell you, tonight, there is no knowing God, and there is no being strengthened in God. There is no relationship with God apart from the word of God. By the way, anybody that tells you any differently is deceiving themselves. They're fooling themselves if they think somehow they have a contact with God just because they know he created the universe. No. If all the worship they have, if all they know about God is he's their creator, then he's still to them the unknown God. He's out there somewhere. They know somebody made this place, but they don't know him. And they'll never know him without this book and without this word. And it's the living word of God. To be established and strengthened in that word. That word established is to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast or to fix, to strengthen, to make firm, to render constant, to confirm one's mind. And oh, what a blessing it is to know God through salvation, and then have in him the Holy Spirit teach us his word and establish us and strengthen us, amen, as we follow him. And I'm thankful for the living word of God. And we saw that in the passages that we had read there earlier where he established them. Getting ahead of myself here. He commended them to the Lord. He commends them to the word. Paul calls it he calls it my gospel. Let me get my pages tossed here. He calls it my gospel. Now, why does he call it my gospel? Well, I think we know. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. God chose that. He calls it my gospel. God selected him to see and hear and receive instruction directly from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The truths of the gospel were revealed directly to the apostle Paul by Jesus Christ himself, that through his preaching and teaching and letters, God's saving grace and power through Jesus Christ might be made known unto all nations. He was specifically selected for that purpose. Acts 9, 15 and 16. Someone want to read that? Acts 9, 15 and 16. Brother Charles?
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
So God has commanded Ananias, a faithful disciple in Damascus, to go see Paul. And he said, but God, he's a persecutor of the church. And God says, no, you go your way. He is a chosen disciple. I'm going to show you. God was bearing his holy arm there when he called the apostle Paul to be the apostle of the Gentile. He said, I'm going to take the persecutor of the church and make him an apostle of the church. And praise God. Anywhere ever says, I'm too wicked to be saved, just point with the apostle Paul, amen. And say, I don't know, God could make you the greatest Christian of this generation, according to what the Bible did with the apostle Paul. And he can do it with anybody. And so this new dispensation has been committed to Paul. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:17, for if I do this thing willingly, that is what God's called him to do, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God has committed unto me whether I do it or not. If I do it willingly, I have a reward. If not, I'll have to answer to God for that. And so he realizes that. And he talks about that grace given to him in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Someone wants to read that, 1 Corinthians 3:10, Brother Dennis?
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man
right. So God made Paul what? The foundation layer. And he laid that gospel. You might remember that meeting in Acts chapter 15 about the issue, do they have to keep the law to be saved? Who provided the spearhead of the sound information and the sound revelation to get that thing straightened out? It was the apostle Paul. And as he shared the work there, shared his missionary work, the whole church in Jerusalem, if you study your Bible, they kind of lagged behind a bit. You know, that's where it all started, but then the church at Antioch got started up north of them, and they're the ones that really took off and got on fire. The church at Jerusalem kind of lagged, and they were a little reluctant to send out missionaries like God had said. So what did he do? Persecuted them, sent them out. The church of Antioch sent them out what? When the Holy Ghost told them to. And so the church at Jerusalem began to lag behind a little bit. And the apostle Paul was used to get them straight. No, there were Jews there that were saying, well, you've got to become a Jew to remain saved. Absolutely not. And they got that straightened out. Salvation is by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, what? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they got that settled. And the apostle Paul settled that message there. So it's not really Paul's gospel. It's the gospel of God, isn't it? Remember Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. Someone want to read that, Romans 1, 1 through 5. Brother Austin?
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Son of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead,
Amen. There it is. There's that mystery. And Paul says we were sent to share, to preach and to share this mystery. He says it's known, being made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, that he says. And then, by the way, this would include, I believe, all both Old Testament and New Testament writings and prophets. Remember, after they were preached at Thessalonica, they went to the city called Berea. And the Bible says about the Jews there, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what we need to do. And the Bible says, therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So they searched the scriptures and found that, yes, Christ, this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, had fulfilled those scriptures. And they believed those eyewitnesses of his resurrection as they shared that. And so they became believers. The prophets had spoken many things about the coming Messiah. But the mystery of how he would be both a suffering Messiah and a reigning Messiah, that was mysterious. How would he be both a humble servant and an exalted king? How would the Jews and Gentiles be brought together to praise his name? Not all clearly revealed in the Old Testament prophets, but they were clearly revealed in the writings of the Apostle Paul and the preaching of Paul and the New Testament prophets. By the way, Apostle Paul even knew that the messages he was preaching before they were written down was inspired by God. You'd find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Someone want to read that? Sister Lindsay?
For this cause also thank you God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you also that believe.
There you go. Paul said it's the word of God. Even before they wrote it down, the word they were preaching was the word of God, the inspired word of God. The Apostle Paul knew that in the fullness of the Spirit. In 2 Peter 3, you'll find Peter refers to Paul's writings as scriptures. In 2 Peter 3:16, the scripture says, Peter's talking about Paul's writings, how some of them are kind of hard, some parts are hard to understand. We talk about end times and such. He says, And also in all his epistles, that's Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also, what's it say? The other scriptures to their own destruction. To their own destruction. So Paul, so Peter equates Paul's writings with the other scriptures. And they knew that they were writing scriptures. They knew even that they were preaching the word of God. Verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And some of you are saying, amen. We made it to verse 27. But what a great and glorious ending. And to God alone. To God only wise, the place you'll find him called the only wise God. And God alone is wise. In Proverbs 21:30, the scripture says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If there's true wisdom, it originated in God somewhere. And by the way, there is no wisdom against God's will. There's no better way to do it. This is the book of life. For here, praise God, your name is written in the book of life when you get saved. But when it comes to living this life here, this is the book of life. And this tells us how to live it. And there's no wisdom greater than this. Nothing greater than that. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Someone want to read that? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Brother Brian?
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer?
Amen. You know, people who follow this book and trust in it get the blessings and the promises that it contains. And the changed life comes, and how do you argue with that? How do you argue with a transformed heart? How do you argue with people that'll come from one town just being beaten, you know, and thrown in prison, and come to your town and preach the same message for free, even though they're being hounded by the same persecutors? How do you explain that? How do you explain people who had nothing to gain but eternity, who gave their lives, you know, had their tongues cut out and such, and all those things they went through to testify the gospel of grace of God? You can't explain it but by the Spirit and power of God. And that blessed book, blessed message. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. Listen, any wisdom that rejects Christ, any wisdom that rejects living according to this book, the Bible says it what? Comes to naught. It comes to naught. And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit would it be if you don't get saved, if you don't know God? And obviously, there'd be no profit to that. Wisdom, he's the only wise God. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So until you realize that God is the one who has the right and the power to direct our lives. And by the way, he's the only one. And it is who that we answer to first and foremost? God. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. I had a Bible college teacher that defined the fear of the Lord like this, if I can remember. He said, the fear of the Lord is realizing that there is an all-knowing God who is keeping an accurate record of your life and of my life. And one day, we will give an account of the accurate record which the all-knowing God has kept. And keeping God, keeping the Word of God, and living for God. To God only wise, and then what's it say? Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. You see, through Christ alone, there's worship to God. God's glory is channeled to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no worshiping God apart from this word. There's no knowing him apart from this word. And by the way, there's no knowing God apart from knowing Jesus Christ. Anybody who tells you differently is deceiving themselves. And there's no knowing him apart from Christ. Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, Jesus says. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now I believe many times when Jesus is speaking, he's not typically speaking of the Father as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Jews referred to God in general as Father. And many times when Jesus refers to God as the Father, he's speaking of God in a general sense. You don't know the Father. You know, if you knew me, you'd know the Father. Why? Because he's God. Jesus is God, and the Father is God. And I think that's kind of what he's saying there too. In Luke 10:32, he says, no man knoweth the Son, knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. God truly knows who the Son is, doesn't he? Why? Because he became the Son. And by the way, the Son truly knows whom the Father is, doesn't he? Because they're one. And Jesus said, I've got to reveal them to you. Who he came to show us God, didn't he? And that's why the Spirit comes to show us Christ. He comes to glorify Christ. And through that we worship God. There's no worship of God apart from the gospel of Christ. when we receive Christ, we receive God. Remember what Jesus said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth what? Him that sent me. You see? When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive God. When you glorify Jesus Christ, you glorify God. When you serve Jesus Christ, you serve God. When you honor Jesus Christ, you honor God. And that's the message that the world hates. Because to say that God became a man, and that makes it so narrow. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now it is through that God-man that came down to earth just a little over 2,000 years ago and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Amen. To be glory forever. Amen. In other words, so be it. So be it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of Romans. It's been a wonderful study going through it. I pray that we would study more. Good study always raises more questions. And yet I pray also we would be strengthened for that which we learned. It's a wonderful book about the gospel of God, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that we have it preserved here for us today so that we can have it as a map of for life and doctrine and living and to recognize false doctrine. And we have a message to share that is life-changing, life-transforming, and that God, that we can see every need that we'll face in life met, dear God, through your word. Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We made it, folks. All right. Praise the Lord. Brother Charles, would you come and close us tonight, please?